This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Monahan with a keep in. Here comes Kirill Marchenko right down the middle. Jenner with a bouncing puck and 7-10 scores. To put Columbus up 3-2 on a power play goal.
Boone Jenner on the power play, 6:42 into the third period. That ends up being Columbus's first time they take the lead, and they took it for good there. They win it right there. Your goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR as we welcome you into the postgame. 3-2 Columbus, the final. We'll get to Paul Hamilton here in just one moment. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The Sabres pumped down 15 more shots in the third, 41 in the game. After they had two in the first and they were playing the AHL goaltender Jet Greaves, it looked like maybe they were going to have a big night of scoring. They never scored again. 33 shots over the second and the third, and they couldn't get any goals. Yeah, Greaves, was excellent. 39 saves in the win. Reimer, 27 saves in the loss. Individually for Buffalo, Tuck had 5 shots. Dahlin had 6 shots on a night in which he had 2 points, but not enough offense there for the Sabres as they fall 3-2. Each team had 1 try on the power play. Columbus's game-winning goal from Jenner came there. They were 1 of 1. And the Sabres had a late power play, a lot of possession, a lot of shots, but they could not score, and they go 0-1 of the night. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools. Probably made here in Buffalo. Send us your tweets. We'll read them on this loss tonight on X. You can send them in at BrianWGR as we'll get connected with our fans in just a little bit. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. But first, before we read tweets and get you more highlights, let's get to Paul Hamilton. Paul, it wasn't for a lack of chances or shots or energy. The Sabres had 41 shots in the game. They end up with 77 shot attempts. So, I mean, that's a lot. But they could only get 2 on what was an AHL goaltender last night.
Yeah, 77. Usually if you do that, you're usually going to win a hockey game. And, you know, Buffalo was only able to score 2 goals. They got 2 goals in 45 seconds, and that was the end of it. And it, what it looked like... amateur hour and goal for Columbus, all of a sudden won him a hockey game. I mean, Greaves would be my first star without question, even though, you know, the goals he let in early. We haven't seen this in a while. It's been a long time since the Sabres have had a, you know, done this, taking a 2-0 lead and then blown the lead and lose 3-2. They haven't done that in a while. And it was sloppy play. I mean, they started turning the puck over, or not being able to get the puck out of the zone, like on the power play goal. it was, Byram had a chance to get it out. And he seemed kind of casual about it, didn't get it out, and next thing you know, it's in your net. And there's Boone Jenner in front of the net. They finally did knock him down, but he already had scored the goal by the time they knocked him down. And so a lot of things we haven't seen a bit, or when we did see it, they got away with it, or we'd get great goaltending, although I'm not blaming this on goaltending. They had a couple of opportunities. You talked about that late power play. Kulik hit the post. A great save on Zucker in front by Greaves. Greaves stopped Peterka earlier on a breakaway. I mean, he just went from – he wouldn't have been nervous. He's played in the NHL before. I mean, so he wasn't with it to start off, but, boy, he got with it quick. And when he did, he, to me, was the star of the game.
Yeah, for sure. And, that goal that Jenner scored, Paul, there were three Sabres in the area of the crease, and – including Reimer, he couldn't just get a firm grasp on it. None of the Sabres could really get a firm stick on it. And then Jenner was able to swipe that in. So, I mean, I don't know if you just want to, there's maybe a little bit of puck luck there, but you're right. In terms of the play in front of it, the Byram clearing attempt, and obviously, it didn't have to set up to get to that point where maybe he did get some bounce to go his way.
Well, he did hit it out of the air too. On the rebound, which is what went in, is when he hit it out of the air. So, but still, he never had to come about. And the thing is, too, for a long time in this game, Columbus was missing two defensemen. They had to play with four. And, the Sabres didn't take advantage of that either. Especially when Werenski, the best defenseman that Columbus has to offer, he had to leave the game for a while, and he finally did come back. But for a while, Columbus was down to 4D, and Buffalo did not take advantage of that.
Sabres fall 3-2 to Columbus, ending the 5-game win streak. This game in the standings may only affect kind of where Buffalo ends up finishing. They, of course, were eliminated officially from playoff contention on Tuesday night. Even though they won their game, they found out that Montreal had won, so that eliminated the Sabres. And Paul, I know, Columbus obviously was a really, really good story all year. We know, of course, the tragedy with what happened with Johnny Gaudreau and his brother coming into this season. The Blue Jackets wore that 13 patch on their jersey all year. They were in a playoff spot for a decent amount this year, which surprised me too, just beyond the fact that they started so well. I didn't know if talent-wise they'd be able to hang, and just down the stretch here, they just weren't able to hold on to this playoff spot. They played very inconsistent, and I know when you and I were maybe talking about them a month or so ago, we were thinking, hey, that'd be an amazing story if they could make the postseason, but it looks like they'll come up short.
Yeah, and this is something the Sabres haven't done in a while. They've spent a lot of this season helping teams get out of slumps, and here we go again, another one here. I mean, Columbus did not have... I mean, they had just one win in four games, two wins in six, and four wins in 14. And again, the Buffalo Sabres have been playing very well lately, probably for over a month. But they just kind of reverted back to some of the things they were doing before they started playing well.
Absolutely. So this weekend, Paul, the Sabres finish up a road trip. They go to Florida and Tampa. This year, the road record was not as good as even it had been in previous seasons when they obviously still didn't make the playoffs either. The home record was much improved, but if you look at just wins away from home ice, the Sabres are one of the worst in the NHL. In fact, the team with the worst record has 12 in the East, has 12 wins away from their home building. That's Boston and Columbus, ironically enough, and Pittsburgh. And the Sabres only have one more, 13. So while the record at home is much better, they still have to figure out a way. You can't just flip it and be good at home now and then bad on the road, as bad as they were on the road. Like, there has to be still a little contribution for road points too if they are going to make the postseason next year.
Well, they had started figuring it out for a bit. They had won two in a row. They beat Ottawa. They beat Washington. They lost to Philadelphia. They beat Winnipeg. So they'd won three out of four. Lost a couple to Minnesota and Utah. And beat Boston on the road. So, for a while, they had figured it out. Starting about the middle of March, they played better on the road. This game, there were parts they did play well. But, You know, they again, turnovers. Paterka turns the puck over at the blue line. That's Aston Reese's goal. I'm not too sure why Gudbranson would get an assist on that, because Paterka handed it to Aston Reese and he lost it, got it back. Gudbranson really had nothing to do with it, and he just ripped it at the net. And there was a screen, and it wound up going in, but it was just a horrible, careless turnover by Paterka that set that up for that goal. And, you know, the play where the first goal that Columbus scored late in the first period, where, you know, it looked like Buffalo was going to get out of the period with a 2-0 lead, but with 9 seconds left in the period, you've got Benson on the left wall. He passes the puck in the middle to Thompson. It wasn't a great pass, and it was just knocked away by Werenski. Johnson quickly relayed it up to Van Riemsdyk, who I don't know if he saw what was happening and took off, because he's one of the slowest guys in the National Hockey League, but somehow got behind the defense and wound up with a breakaway, wound up scoring. And you may never hear me say that again. Van Riemsdyk scores on a breakaway. He may not ever get another one again. I mean, he is as slow as slow can be, but he anticipated and got behind the defense, and Bernard Docker couldn't catch him once he got behind him, and he wound up scoring, and you know that turned into be a big goal. I mean, Buffalo could have went in at the intermission up 2-0.
Paul Reed, we'll get connected with our fans here. Got a couple of tweets. We'll get your comments on. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Jim writes in, really glad they re-signed Bryson. He's played about 2 of 10 games since they re-signed him.
Why did you think they re-signed him? To play on the top pair? Or to be the number 7 or 8 defenseman? Which is what he is.
Is that where you... Yeah, that's where Bryson's going to be, is probably the 7 or 8 next year.
So I don't know what you were expecting. I mean, he signed for the same money. He is not on the top pair. He is a depth defenseman, and that's what he's doing. So I don't understand the question.
Yep. Let's see here. Angelica writes, is Lukanen tradable with the contract he just signed?
That's
not bad. I'll let you answer that, Paul.
Yeah, that's less than $5 million. What is it, about 4.75? I'm going by memory, but somewhere in there. So that's actually an excellent contract for a goaltender. So, sure. No, I think that's actually, if you were looking to trade him, I think it would be an advantage, the contract.
Yeah, he's got, let's see here, if I can go through and give you the exact info on Lukanen.
It's 4.75, but again, I'm going by memory.
Yeah, here we go. You're right, 4.75, and still has 3 more years left on that. Yeah, 25, 26, 26, 27, and 27, 28, and then he'd be a UFA in 29. Yeah, that's tradable for sure.
He still can't be a number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. I saw a lot of good goaltending from him in 35 games at the end of the year last year, where he was right on top of the league in some of his numbers, so... And there were games this year where he played very, very well, but it wasn't consistent. So, you know, can he straighten out in the summer? Yeah, he does work hard in the summer, I know, because he got himself better to get into that spot. I'm not sure I'm ready to give up on Lukanen yet. But, again, do you want to go into the season with 2 Fs and a 38-year-old?
Right. And what you had said about, all right, Reimer, would you want to come back? You probably, though, can't make a decision on where Reimer fits in, Paul, until you really see what Levi does early. And I would think with what preseason usually shows, which sometimes is NHL lineup versus AHL lineup or vice versa, like, you probably are not going to get a full answer on whether or not Levi can do it until you get maybe like a month's worth of games of NHL regular season games. So what do you do then with Reimer in the meantime? Do you say, well, we're going to carry 3 for the first month? Or do you just go all in on Levi and make that, you know, as you said, maybe you can make a trade with Lukanen? Or do you say, you know, to Reimer, look, we might start you the season in Rochester. Are you okay with that? And then we'll make a decision on our goalies. I mean, I guess ideally, Lukanen and Levi are both good that you can play them both and maybe you just move on from Reimer. But, I don't know. Ultimately, one of those goalies probably needs to play more than every other game. So I don't know. I think it's a little complicated, and a lot of it is just because you really don't know what Levi's going to do, I think.
No, they got to figure this out in training camp. I mean, those two have to have a competition, and I doubt Reimer would play. You know, there's not a real big reason to play Reimer in the preseason. You know what he can do. I mean, to me, it's Luukkonen and Levi, and they play all the games as far as I'm concerned. And because you got to figure this out and figure out if one of these can grab the goaltending job to get it. And, you know, I'm certainly not willing to sit there and say that Luukkonen can't be a number one goaltender. I watched him be a number one goaltender last year, and then it got away from him. And I think part of the reason it got away from him is they started the season alternating. Why? It was Lukanen's job. He won it, you know, and he did nothing in preseason to lose it. And I don't, you know, I kind of think you're messing with his head a little bit. And then you give him the contract. To me, it's like, why are they alternating? That doesn't make any sense to me. If Luukkonen's the number one goaltender, we got to send Levi to Rochester too. But, you know, Kevin Adams he hasn't said to me, but he has shown me with what he's done that he wants Levi to be the number one goaltender. He has tried twice now to hand him the job without earning it, and he has not been able to do anything with that. And but I do like the way they've handled him from a development standpoint now that they've figured out that he's not able to do it. You know, they sent him to Rochester, basically kept him there. He came up a couple of times, but not a lot. And, you know, let him finish out the season there. So I like the development of what it is now. But, they they've just got to decide and then move one of them before training camp. If that's what they want to do, if they don't feel they can get confidence in Luukkonen or he's going to get it back. But why did you give him a contract then if you don't have confidence in him that he's a good goalie? So, if you think he is a good goalie, then and you think, well, we got a good offer for Levi, maybe we move him. You know, it shouldn't be a mess because it didn't end up. That was the one thing that wasn't a mess when they ended the year last year. Now here you are, and it's turned into a mess this year.
Yeah. 3-2 Columbus, the final. Sabres will be in Florida Saturday at 6. Paul will be with me on the pregame at 5. And, Paul, drama in the Frozen Four. Western Michigan takes out the defending champion Denver 3-2 in overtime. So the Broncos into the championship game. And now you can go watch the other semi if you want. Penn State and Boston U just started. So
it's crazy how those games wind up. They wind up in overtime so much in the Frozen Four. The NCAA has some great games when it gets down to the tournament. Only 16 teams make it. And they have four regions with four teams each, and you really see some good hockey and some sit on the edge of your seat hockey. And this one I think went to two overtimes, if I'm not mistaken, didn't it?
I think you're right. Yeah.
You know, it's like you're on the edge of your seat for a couple of overtimes, and you see. And of course, we had the Frozen Four here a couple of times. Thomas Vanek before he was drafted by the Sabres. Yep. He played here in the Frozen Four, and the Sabres drafted him. Jacob Bryson played here in the other one. Providence, I believe. Again, I'm going by memory.
I think the second one, Paul, I remember.
Jacob's, college, but he was in it.
The second one I remember for how good Mikhail Makar was in that second Frozen Four when it was here.
Yeah, but, that's right. And they didn't win. They were favored to win, and they didn't. But you're right. He was, and he didn't disappoint. I mean, you could just see how good he was, and you know. But that was here too. So we've seen some you know very good players, you know, be able to come through here when the couple of times he's been. I was correct. Jason Bryson was Providence, and of course Thomas Vanek was the University of Minnesota.
There you go, Paul. See, you had it right on.
I always tell myself now. With my memory, it's like, all right, did I have that right or don't I?
Yeah, the 2019 Frozen Four that was here in Buffalo, that was the second instance. Minnesota Duluth ended up winning, upsetting UMass, and then Denver and Providence were. So was Makar on UMass? Was that...
Yes.
He on UMass? Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Denver and Providence were the other teams. You mentioned Bryson right there. They were the semifinalists.
So. God, it was so long ago. I don't remember if Vanek's Minnesota team won or not. I remember how good he was in the tournament.
I want to say yes.
For the life of me, I can't remember. I believe they did too, but I can't remember for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been, I'm trying to think, the time that, 2011. That's right. Was it in Buffalo 2011? When was the Frozen Four in Buffalo? 2019, it was there last. Oh, 2003. Yeah. It was the last. That was a big gap.
Vanek was in the NHL by then.
Yeah, that was a big gap in between those two tournaments, 2003 and 2019. Yeah, Minnesota did win, Paul. They beat New Hampshire in the championship. Vanek was the MOP, the most outstanding player of the tournament, and Cornell and Michigan were the other two teams.
He was so good in that tournament. And then the Sabres drafted him, and people were really excited because they had just seen him here. And, of course, he turned out to be a very good professional also. So, he was so good in that tournament. I didn't fall asleep like I did when you were watching me during the NCAA basketball tournament. And DePaul was playing somebody. Dayton, was it?
Yes.
Nobody could hit a shot. Nobody could get a free throw. It was like we were in overtime, and the score was like 11-10 or something. No, it wasn't, but it seemed like it was 11-10. And it was like 12:30 in the morning. I go, are you kidding me? Could somebody make a basket here? And you're in the crowd watching me, and you thought it was hilarious.
That was really good. That was a good tournament. Yeah, that was Dayton and DePaul.
That was a
double overtime game that went well past midnight, and I know you were covering it for the station.
It was just so poorly played. Nobody could shoot. Nobody could do anything. It was awful.
Listen, I can say that game is what allowed you to pass the torch to me to covering the tournament now for the station. And it's been here like four more times since, and you covered it. Early 2000s, and that DePaul Dayton game was just such a memory for you that you're like, what? It can't be topped. No one can make a shot. It's 1 a.m. You said it's the ugliest basketball game you ever watched, which probably was correct. And you said, I can't cover this ever again. And I've gotten to cover it the last four or five times, and I've loved every minute. So I have that game to thank, Paul, for you to pass the torch on to covering the tournament for me.
I did get the unique experience of covering Bobby Knight, so that was cool.
Yes, and they remember. Was that the year they lost to Pepperdine? They got upset, I think.
You're asking me?
Oh yeah. Come on, Paul. You covered that tournament. You should remember.
I just remember sitting in his press conference, just shaking my head, going, "This guy." It's just really?
Interesting interview.
Yes.
Well, Paul, next year, the NCAA basketball tournament, the men's, will be back in Buffalo for 2026. So. Your job, you won't have to cover it, but your job now is to see if your Cyclones can find themselves in the East region. So you can sit in the stands and cheer them on as a proud alum.
I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. You got to get your Iowa State gear out. Jim Nance was in the crowd at the Final Four with his Houston hoodie on. You got to get there with your Iowa State gear.
Now that I've lost weight, my Iowa State gear fits,
Please don't tell me it's the same hoodie for that you wore in college in 1920, right? You've bought a new one since, right?
I still have my Letterman jacket. I don't think I can get into that yet, but,
All right, Paul. Go watch the other Frozen Four game. We'll talk Saturday. Thank you.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, good stuff there from Paul Hamilton. Sabres fall to Columbus by a 3-2 margin. Let's get our save of the game in next year, and it's brought...
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today.
Zach Aston-Reese down to the corner. Columbus keeping it in. Tipped right on, and Reimer makes a save again at that far post.
First period save from James Reimer, who was excellent early. That allowed Buffalo to go up 2-0 with Paterka and Dahlin scoring, but Columbus got the next three. Van Riemsdyk, Ashton Reese, and Jenner, and the Sabres fall by a score of 3-2. Sabres tonight did not have Jordan Greenway, Tyson Kozak, and, yes, Josh Norris. And I feel like every game I say the same thing. It's really frustrating that we're not getting to see him. Like, part of the deal of that Cousins trade, part of the deal of, like, look, we know the Sabres weren't making the playoffs here, but at least let me see what we got with Josh Norris. Let me see what we got was supposed to be the gem of this trade. He played less than three games, and we haven't seen him since. I think this is game 15 now, maybe, that he's missed. Maybe 14. It's been a lot. And they said it's not season ending. At least that was the last time Lindy Ruff spoke and Josh Norris spoke about the injury. But, man, it's trending that way. Only got four to go. Two this weekend, Florida-Tampa, and the next week home games with Toronto and Philadelphia, and that's it. So I don't know if we're going to get to see any more of Josh Norris here in this season. That is your injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, let's see what's going on with the scoreboard and the NHL standings here in the playoff races that count right now as we get the scores brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. All right, around the league. Florida. They are in a battle for the Atlantic 1-2-3 spots. They pick up a win 4-1 at home against Detroit. The Panthers are 1 point back of Tampa for second and four back of Toronto. The Leafs are in the driver's seat right now to win the Atlantic Division. They have 100 points, 3-point lead on Tampa Bay. Meaningless game between the Blackhawks and the Bruins. Chicago wins it 5-2. The Rangers are pouring it on right now on Long Island. It's 8-2. Rangers lead the Isles in the Islanders' playoff hopes very slim, as are the Rangers, but they're still officially mathematically alive. Capitals with a 4-3 lead halfway through the third period on Carolina. No goals for Alex Ovechkin. He does have an assist in this game. Early third in Dallas, the Jets have a 3-0 lead on the Stars. Vancouver and Colorado are near 0-0 heading to the second. Also 0-0 heading into the second in Utah. The Hockey Club and the Nashville Predators going at it. And two games just about set to start. In Vegas, the Golden Knights host the Kraken. And in Los Angeles, the Kings host the Ducks. I mentioned the Frozen Four in St. Louis. One team is advanced to the championship game. double overtime win for the Western Michigan Broncos. They beat the defending champion University of Denver by a score of 3-2. Right now, if you want to watch it, it's on ESPN2. Penn State, Boston University. The winner will meet Western Michigan on Saturday night in the championship. To the Masters we go now, and the first round at Augusta National, Justin Rose is your first round leader. He shot a 65 today, 7 under par. He's got a 3-shot lead on defending champion Scottie Scheffler, Corey Connors, and Ludvig Åberg. Other notable scores, Bryson DeChambeau's in the next group of players at -3. He's 4 off the lead. Rory McIlroy, a big favorite coming into this tournament here. He and Scheffler were the top two betting favorites to win. He was playing outstanding golf. He was 4 under par with just 4 to play. A double bogey, though, on 15 and a double bogey on 17 coming in. He's at even par right now as he heads into tomorrow. Other Masters, former champion Jordan Spieth, he today +1. Colin Morikawa finished the day at even par. So there are some of the other notable names, but Justin Rose on top by 3 here after round 1. Bisons were rained out today. Scheduled doubleheader on Saturday, but they'll play again tomorrow night, at least if the weather allows, at Salem Field. All right. There's your scores. What'd that do to the standings? Well, Columbus getting a little closer to Montreal, who was off tonight. They're now within 6. 87 points for the Canadiens, 81 for Columbus. There's 4 games left for both teams. So if Columbus goes 4-0, that's 8 more points. They can get to 89, which means Montreal has to get 3 points to eliminate Columbus. And then again, that means Columbus has to go perfect the rest of the way in order for that to happen. Montreal does play tomorrow. They play in Ottawa. Those two, Montreal and Ottawa, are back actually battling for wild card 1 and wild card 2. If you're wild card 1, you're going to play the Atlantic winner, which is trending towards the Maple Leafs. If you're wild card 2, you're going to play Washington. I don't know. Who would you rather play? TJ, who would you rather play if you're Ottawa and Montreal? Would you rather play Toronto or Washington in round 1?
What do you think? Both teams. Oh, man, that's very tough. I know. Man. Because I think both teams would like the battle of Ontario, if you will, for Ottawa. And then, of course, Toronto-Montreal would be a classic type of series there. I don't know if you'd want that later in the playoffs and go with the Washington round first, but that's a tough matchup too. So really just depends.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto, obviously, they might feel more pressure. Hey, we have to get out of the first round here. But Washington's had a really good year, for sure. And they've got a really, really nice complete team, and they've been getting good goaltending. I don't know. I think I'd still pick the Leafs. I feel like there's more juicy, at least from a non-rooting interest side. It's juicier to see Montreal play Toronto, I think, or Ottawa play Toronto. I think there's more juicy storylines there, for sure. We do know one matchup for sure in the East. Carolina is going to play New Jersey. That's the 2-3 in the Metro in this horrid playoff system that I hate. But the Atlantic still technically could flip because there are 4 games left. Tampa's 3 behind Toronto, so they'd have to have a pretty strong finish here. Montreal and Toronto play Saturday, so that may be a little intrigue there. And then the Sabres obviously can have a little impact on this because they play both Florida and Tampa this weekend. Both those games are Saturday, and they're both 6 o'clock games, by the way. We'll have them for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network. All right, with that, we'll put a wrap here on our post game and say goodnight to all of our affiliates as well. Columbus victorious over Buffalo, 3-2. They come back after the Sabres took an early 2-0 lead in this one. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Kyle Powell on our social media, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Tom Maddy is our engineer, and for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, and, of course, the Bulldog on the pregame. I'm Brian Kulziel. Thank you again for listening. The final score from Columbus, Blue Jackets 3, Sabres 2. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday night into Friday, and we'll talk to you Saturday with the Sabres in Florida right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.